This Radio 560 KPQ time is 12:43. Kevin Rount sitting in for Michael Knight on the agenda. The show without an agenda, despite its title, as Michael likes to say. Joining me now, right, is U.S. Army recruiter Sergeant Jonathan Ernst. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me again.
I appreciate it, especially since a little behind-the-scenes stuff. I was messaging him yesterday going, I have this open spot and I don't really know, but I have an idea. Would you be willing to come on and talk about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll be a media hog.
There you go. So we are about 1 week away from school, and I can only imagine there are kids right now that are 16, 17, getting ready to go in that junior year, going to that senior year of high school, and they are thinking about life after high school and what they want to do. And so I have this idea where there's got to be kids now that are trying to plan ahead because they want to go into the military in some form or fashion. And so I wanted to talk about what these kids need to know in terms of what if I'm a 17-year-old kid, or if I'm a parent of a 17-year-old kid who's going to be a senior this year, and they know that this is an option that they at least want to seriously explore, there's probably a lot of things they need to make sure that they're kind of, you know, a lot of I's to dot, a lot of T's to cross across their senior year.
Absolutely. So the first and foremost is your own personal qualification. So I've discussed it with Mike like countless times. I spend most of my time discussing less than 28%. Of the 17 to 34-year-old population is qualified to serve in the military. If it's something you want to do, am I medically, morally, and in regards to my aptitude, am I qualified to join? If not, are there ways for me to overcome that prior to graduation? Medically, obviously, if you've got medical issues, you have medical issues. Do I or do I not meet the qualifications? Well, call us and ask, because I have these things called Army regulations and Department of Defense regulations, and I'm not the doctor. I don't ultimately qualify or disqualify people medically, but I can tell you where your condition falls in the spectrum of what can or can't be done. Especially if you're contemplating this early in your senior year, if you're not qualified, goodness gracious, don't spend a year banking on something that might not be able to come to fruition.
Right.
So come in, talk to us, give me a call, talk to me, reach me on Facebook and talk to me. I'm very user friendly. I'm not a used car salesman like a lot of people seem to have this, conception of military recruiters. At the end of the day, I tell most people, and it's nothing personal, it's not to be standoffish, I'm already in the Army, right? So your situation as to whether or not you join, yes, my job is to find people to put in the Army, but at the end of the day, the one individual that can or can't join is not going to make or break my career. I want what's best for the community and the kids in the community. I've touted it over and over again. I have kids in the community, so I want it to be a good community to live in regardless of how many people are actually joining the military.
So, okay, medically, I'd imagine that's something you want to probably find out early. So, because if it's a fixable condition, or if it's something that you can come up with a plan on, it's good to know it soon. Whereas if it's, you know, something like a heart condition or something
chronic asthma, things like that, right?
So things that are just never going to be able to be fixed,
right? And it's not necessarily that they can't ever be fixed; it's whether or not they're being accepted right now, because our regulations are kind of flexible, right? Depending on the Army's growing right now, so some things are a lot more lax than they used to be. Other things are more stringent just because of the way the current Army command views certain issues over other issues, and it's the same with the other service branches as well. We call it the flavor of the month. Every time you get a new commanding general, whether it's for recruiting command or the Secretary of the Army or the Secretary of Defense changes over, they all have different policies they put in place in terms of recruiting. So things change. But as far as most of the medical stuff, like if you had a shoulder surgery when you were 14 years old, I can tell you now that that's not necessarily going to disqualify you from service, but they're going to want to see all the medical records.
Right.
So start getting on your P's and Q's and make sure you have that. The biggest thing with surgeries is make sure you have that final return to normal activities visit with your doctor, the one that cleared you to go back and play on the football team or the baseball team or whatever. Make sure you have all those documents, because if you really want to join the military and you have an issue like that that you have to overcome as far as the processing piece, it's going to be a lot easier on you if you already have everything lined up. I can obviously tell you when you come into my office, hey, I want to join the Army. That's great. Now we need this, 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 and this. If you're serious and you want to do it, here's what's going to make it the easiest for you.
Yeah, and I'd imagine that's one of those things where if you're serious and you want to do this, I would imagine checking in with you from time to time is something that is probably a good idea, because you could be like, all right, hey, I've gotten this done that we were talking about. Now here's the next step. There are probably kids that you talk to about once every month or every other month or so.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of them, I've got a whole pool of kids that I deal with on a weekly or biweekly basis that are never going to be qualified to join the Army. But at the same time, they're a recruiting multiplier for me. I'm helping them. They point kids in my general direction. You know what I mean? So, you'd be surprised how often I'm talking to some of them. And if you're going into your senior year, technically now with parental consent at the age of 18, you can join the Army now. You don't ship off until after you graduate. So the time is now if that's your plan, because the longer you wait, the more the job fields and stuff for the summer that we're recruiting for now get taken away from. So you're stealing options from yourself by, if you've made the decision, yes, I'm going to join military service, the longer you wait, the more options you're taking away from yourself. And it's not to create a false sense of urgency. It's just the fact of numbers. In June of 2019, we've only got so many seats for basic training and so many seats for each job. As the school year goes on, you got those early starters. I got a couple seniors that have already joined the Army this year right after school ended. They're pulling out of that job pool that you'll likely be trying to filter through, you know, the quintessential, I'm going to wait till March, April, May. And all of a sudden, now there's six choices out there for you when there was 60 3 months before. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, and I'd imagine. And you talked about graduating, and I think there's a lot of kids, too, that maybe don't understand the academic portion that the Army and military in general is concerned about. And so is it just a matter of graduating high school, getting a GED or whatever it is? Or I'd imagine there's a grade component. You can't just have kind of gotten by on the skin of your teeth. You got to have been able to do it.
The graduation is the basic requirement to be able to join. Okay. I will tell you this. Just like any other career field, we have entry-level jobs that have prerequisites to them. The most common requests we have for people wanting specific jobs when they come into my office are medical fields, military police, and then I have my kids that just want to go kick in doors and fight the Taliban that want to be infantry, airborne rangers, right? Those are the three most requested fields that we get. Medical fields, if you didn't pass chemistry in high school or have college credit, we're not going to let you play with pharmaceuticals, right? So there are things. The diploma is, yes, you could get by the skin of your teeth, but you're severely limiting your options. A GED, we'll accept a GED, but you have to score higher on the ASVAB to be qualified to join the Army. Same thing with the alternative schools. If nothing personal towards the school itself, they're doing great things for kids that are dealing with some disadvantages or had some rough patches. But like Westside High School, I have to go through additional education evaluations to make sure you're qualified, to make sure the curriculum you took meets the baseline standard for entrance into the military.
And you also talked about that moral component. What's important for these kids to understand about the kind of person they need to be? It's one of those things where I can tell you a grade point average. That's a number. That's a fixed number. Even medical, there's some pretty clear, you know, ideas. Moral, I'd imagine for you, maybe it seems clear, but it could for others, I'd imagine it seems less clear.
So there's a myriad of different issues, right? We don't accept convicted felons. We used to have a program where we would consider kids that were juveniles that had a felony charge and have showed proper progression since then. Hey, I made my mistake. I robbed this orchard or whatever the case may be, right? And now I've done this and this and I got this many college credits. I've turned my life around, community service, blah, 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 blah. We don't even entertain them anymore. Mm. Your arrest record is a huge thing. I can't take anybody that's on probation for anything. There's a handful of unsupervised probation charges. But the common things that kids get in trouble for, I can't help you with. If you have, shoplifting, if you can cause you literally to not be able to join the Army depending on the severity of it. So I can't process anybody with any open traffic violations. You have to have all your speeding tickets paid. You have to have all your parking tickets paid. You can't have a truancy case against you from cutting school. That stuff all has to be closed out. Anything over a misdemeanor, we're not entertaining, period. And then some misdemeanors will disqualify you as well. And then drug use is another one. So everybody gets a 21-item panel drug test when they try and process. Any of those things come back positive, except for very slim things, you're done forever trying to join the military. If you test positive for a methamphetamine or barbiturates, you're never going to be allowed to join the military.
And I think the kids don't think about that, whether 16, 17, 18, or even earlier, is that they don't realize that the choices they're making at that time in their life can limit their future and limit their choices.
Absolutely. And then don't bank on the court system too, because they're not beholden to the military. I've encountered it several times where kids think my record was expunged or sealed, so the recruiters will never find out about it. I'll put the secret out there now. I fingerprint every single person that commits to joining the Army in my office. Within 24 to 48 hours, I get anything they've ever been fingerprinted for, from my parents fingerprinted me in case I was abducted, to I've applied for a concealed carry permit, to any time you've engaged law enforcement and been arrested and charged. The Army is not a court system. The burden of proof is on the applicant. So if you have a charge that was sealed or expunged, guess what? The Army doesn't care. We see the charge on your fingerprints. You now have to get us the closed out disposition and meet the qualifications otherwise to overcome that waiver hurdle.
We got about 30 or 45 seconds left. Real quickly, how important is social media? Do you guys, is that a consideration for you guys when you look at recruits?
Keep your nose clean, because security clearance is the big thing, right? If you're going to apply for a job that requires a secret or a top secret security clearance, they're going to go and dig through all that stuff. And it's not to make sure that you're, you know, a Republican or a Democrat. It's to make sure you don't have ties with overseas people, financial investments or property interests or benefit interests from another country, things of that nature. And that's not to say you can't have family, but some people get caught up in that. Sometimes they have dual citizenship and they're preaching about how they get healthcare benefits from another country. Well, if you're entitled to benefits from another country, we're not going to give you a security clearance.
Yeah, I know. I'd imagine, too, you're not going to cut them out if they got an 18-year-old graduation party with a picture of them with a beard. That may not, it's not great, but it probably isn't the end.
I'm not a law enforcement agency. I don't condone it, but at the same time, it's not something that's going to prevent somebody from joining the military.
Sergeant Ernst, thanks so much for your time today.
No worries. Thanks always for having me.